Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday and the Election Day edition of the Three Martini Lunch. This day has finally arrived. Jim Garrity of National Review is here. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim, I did some math. It's been almost 600 days since Ted Cruz became the first person to announce formally that he was running for president of the United States. It's been a couple months less than that since Donald Trump's been in the race. But it's been a long, hard slog, and one of these people will lose tonight. Actually,
really, only 600 days seem to fly by.
Yes. So much fun all the way along. No stress, no angst, no throwing your hands up in the air.
Importantly, it's been a high-minded, cheerful event that really reinvigorates your faith in democracy and the American people. And I think most importantly, it brought out the best in all of us, Greg. So
absolutely.
Yeah, take five, America.
It's been a contest of high-minded ideals the entire way. All right. On to our predictions. This is our special election prediction edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We should also point out today that we're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. At ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job up to 100-plus job sites. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on there for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. More on that a little bit later in the edition. Let's start with the presidential contest. Jim, obviously, there are multiple candidates. We're pretty much under the assumption that only two are going to win electoral votes. In the final analysis, what do you see happening tonight?
So I go through it state by state. I generally went skeptical for Donald Trump. I have real worries about his get-out-the-vote operation. Yes, we've had some pretty nice numbers in some early states, but I kind of feel like this is not something you need to skimp on. A bunch of these states could go either way, but I came out with him getting 215 electoral votes. Hillary Clinton getting 323. I think that he wins Iowa, a state that had been blue for a while. I'm giving him Ohio right now. And if he ends up losing Ohio, Greg, I will deny ever saying that predicting that Trump would win Ohio. Pretty close out there. He's led a bunch, but then there's a little bit of a surge for Hillary. Obviously, we'll talk about the Senate in a second, but it looks like that they're going to have a really nice Rob Portman campaign out there. This is one where if there's any swing state Trump should improve upon, Ohio is it. And I got that nagging feeling. I guess, you know, it's from almost every cycle since going back to 1992. If you're a Republican, you just really shouldn't, you know, count on that many states falling into your lap or things that are close going your way. We can argue about why that is. But looking back last cycle, the only one you'd kind of put in that category was North Carolina. 4 years earlier, Obama versus McCain, really nothing broke our way, unless you want to count Missouri. Bush in 2004, then a couple of states. You put Ohio in this category, New Mexico 1 year, Iowa 1 year. But basically, if you go into Election Day and you're not sure you're going to win, if you're a Republican, you generally don't win. So kind of going down this list, I have Hillary winning Florida. I think that one will be very close. North Carolina, I have Hillary winning once again. That one's the one actually another one you can come back, and I will deny ever making this prediction. I'm also giving her New Hampshire. For a while, I think that one looked very competitive, but it looks like the last couple of polls have her ahead. This is a state that doesn't have early voting, so we don't have any numbers to look at there. I'm giving her New Hampshire. Michigan blue, Wisconsin blue, Minnesota blue, Colorado, New Mexico blue, Nevada. I went around the numbers on John Ralston's assessment over the weekend. That seems pretty much in place. I think Evan McMullen will come in a close second in Utah, a very respectable finish, but he will not win that one. So give Trump the 6 electoral votes from Utah. And I think the vote will be closer than it was in 2012 in places like Arizona, Georgia, and Texas. But ultimately, Trump will win all of those. And no splitting of the votes in Maine or Nebraska. So you add that all up. An electoral vote that looks a lot like it did in 2008 and 2012 for Republicans, which will be deeply disappointing.
Jim, mine is very, very similar to yours. I have it at 294 to 244, and the only thing I have different is Florida. And I see exactly why you went there. It's been very, very close. A lot of the polls consistently have had Hillary Clinton with a slight lead. And given the resources on turnout and so forth, I can easily see why you have that in her column. Since it's so razor close, and he's kind of the outsider figure in an outsider year, it would seem like I put that in his column. So my total is Clinton 294, Trump 244. If somehow there is a hidden not responding to pollsters vote after Mitt Romney and the skewed polls in 2012, I'm not ready to formally predict there. I can see him making this closer in North Carolina and other states and perhaps threatening to win, but my official pick is Clinton 294, Trump 244. Just like you, I have her narrowly winning in North Carolina. Based on what we're seeing in the early vote in Nevada, I think that ends up tipping Hillary's way as well. New Hampshire is probably my biggest question mark in my mind, along with North Carolina and Hillary's column about whether Trump might be able to sneak that one off. Because if he can win those two other states, that bumps him up pretty highly, up above the 260 mark, and then who knows. But 294, 244 is what it is. Colorado, New Mexico, New Hampshire, Virginia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, all in her column. Ohio, Florida, and Iowa are the swing states, plus Georgia, if you want to still call that a swing state, in the Trump column. So that takes us to the U.S. Senate, where right now it's a 54-46 Republican majority, but they're playing a whole lot of defense. What do you have there?
So I'm going to give you my first clue that I am picking these with my head and not with my heart. I think Pat Toomey is going to lose in Pennsylvania today, and that is heartbreaking. He is one of my favorite senators. I think he's been on National Review's cover more than once. Kind of your definitive of what you need to be a conservative and win in a blue state. And I think it's going to be very close. But the last couple of polls have him down by only a couple of points to McGinty. That one, I think it's going to be a heartbreaker. I'll be thrilled to be wrong on that one. Looking down on these, there are a couple of states that we thought would be competitive and aren't. Like I said, Portman's going to win in Ohio in a walk. I think I'm pretty sure Rubio's going to win. I think the only question is a margin. I think Rubio could win for a while. It looked like he was going to win pretty handily. There's been some tightening. I think Rubio wins. I'm not so sure that he wins in a laugher the way it looked like it was going to be for a while. Maybe one where I'm going with my heart more than my head. I think Kelly Ayotte hangs on in New Hampshire. If that one, you know, if there's one I'm going to get wrong, that's the one I'm predicting right there. Also sad to say, I think Ron Johnson comes close but does not go over the top in Wisconsin. He's going to lose to likely to lose to Russ Feingold. People are pointing out that Ayotte and Toomey and some of these guys, there's another Senate race in these states 2 years from now. So theoretically, they could come back in 2 years. And I kind of see this endless cycle in which guys like Toomey keep winning in a midterm election year, Greg, and then losing 6 years later in a presidential year. And they'll just do this for the rest of their career. I think Republicans lose in Nevada, lose in Colorado. Illinois was pretty much seen as a goner. And I'm predicting Richard Byrd does not get reelected in North Carolina. I'd like to predict otherwise. I'd like to see something different there, but I just have a feeling I'm not counting on things breaking a Republican's way when it's really close. This brings me to a 50-50 map, Greg, which means that based on what I predicted in the presidential race, Tim Kaine will be the 50th vote. I also point out, I think if this comes to pass, I think you'll see a lot of pressure on a couple of those conservative Democrats to contemplate switching parties, somebody like Senator Manchin in West Virginia. Which would make the post-election period even more exciting than usual. So all the fun we had in 2000 until Jeffords flipped, we can expect that in the post-election period, I'd argue.
I'm slightly more optimistic than you, and I'm wobbly on a couple of the ones that I've got helping the Republicans maintain a 51-49 advantage. I'm with you on the vast majority of these. I think Kirk is defeated badly in Illinois. Sadly, I think Russ Feingold comes back in Wisconsin. I think the tide that's taking down Trump likely in Nevada will also hurt Joe Heck. I agree with you reluctantly about Pat Toomey. And unfortunately, Michael Bennett, who's really a lousy senator, is probably going to get reelected out in Colorado. Great, great candidate out there in Daryl Glenn. But he's only gotten as close as 5-1 poll, and most of them are high single digits at this point. On the positive side for Republicans, I obviously agree with you on Rob Portman in Ohio. That's one of the most amazing performances of the year. I also have Rubio winning in Florida. Not sure Arizona's still all that competitive at this point, but I think McCain wins there. Now we get into some tough ones. I have a gut feeling that Evan Bayh will find a way to lose in Indiana. And so that one will go to Republicans. And then come the three that we should win without trouble, but we're going to have a lot of trouble winning any of them: Missouri, New Hampshire, and North Carolina. I've got Republicans winning all three. And so that's obviously very optimistic for a 51-49 split. I think the one I'm least certain on is Richard Burr in North Carolina. I think Trump has done well enough to close the gap in New Hampshire that Ayotte might squeak through. And I think Trump, with a fairly large lead in Missouri, might drag Roy Blunt across the finish line there. So I've got it 51-49. But if it's 50-50, I won't be surprised in the least. So my good news of the night is that Republicans narrowly hang on to the Senate.
I like your version better, Greg. I'd be happy to be wrong, but at this point, I guess I've seen too many years where I feel like I went with my heart. I went with what I wanted to see. I gave the benefit of the doubt to the candidates I liked best. And then was, you know, brutally disappointed on Election Day. So past experience has beaten the optimism out of me. But I would point out, Greg, I concur with you. I think Blunt holds on in Missouri. And I think Todd Young is one of the pleasant surprises of this year for Republicans. Although you probably could argue that Evan Bayh is one of the great disappointments for Democrats this year. But I guess the lesson is when you're really comfortable in your life as a high, fancy living lobbyist type who's cashed in on his years in the Senate, you don't get to come back.
Yeah.
You don't get to flip back and forth anymore. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let's hope he loses. Yeah, you can't just win on hair alone. So the point is, we're talking, well, Donald Trump, if he loses, will still have a job. Hillary Clinton, assuming the Clinton Foundation still exists in a short period of time, if she were to lose, she still has a job. But some of these senators and congressmen, which we'll talk about in a moment, they're going to be looking for jobs. They might be applying for jobs, and others might be looking to hire them. So are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you've got to post your job on all the top job sites, and now, finally, you can.
With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to more than 100 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with just a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Jim, our third martini looks at the House of Representatives. This is the one I assume that both of us are the most optimistic about when it comes to Republican fortunes here. Republicans, obviously, in the 2014 cycle, got their biggest majority since the late 1920s. And so right now they're at like 246, I think, 247, somewhere around there. So they can afford to lose almost 30 seats and hang on. I don't think it'll be nearly dicey for the Republicans tonight. I think they will give back seats since 2014 was such a good year. And in presidential years, they're generally tends to be a little bit of an evening out. So I'll say Republicans lose roughly 10 seats tonight and still maintain a pretty comfortable majority going forward.
Yeah, I wanted to have something really different from you, Greg, to say something dramatic and exciting, but I pretty much concur. Look, turnout that is usually higher in a presidential year tends to be more democratic, tends to be more diverse. After a really great, you know, landslide year like 2014, you'd expect to lose some in the following cycle. You know, the tide usually brings somebody in who's not that good a candidate. And you have a couple of cases like that. And also you lose some in those really those swing districts you can win under the very best of circumstances. But like you, I think, you know, anywhere from, let's say, 7 to 14, I think would be the normal range you'd expect to see in a circumstance like this. Republicans continue to control the majority comfortably. And I think, you know, this would be a kind of, the Democrats should sweat, considering obviously the challenges that Republicans are having up on the top of the ballot, that there's really not much reason to think that the Democrats are going to win back the House anytime soon. And of course, they'll turn around and say, "Ah, this is all gerrymandering." Not really. I think if you just look at the demographics of the country, more and more Democrats are packing themselves into more and more cities, more densely packed urban districts. And you can try redrawing the lines, but ultimately, the Republican Party is the party of rural America and the suburbs, and also I think probably the fastest growing parts of the country, the exurbs, those outer ring suburbs and cities and things like that. So Democrats will, they'll have a good night in a lot of ways, but they won't get complete control of the government. I think you'll hear a little bit of buzz afterwards of, oh, does Paul Ryan remain as Speaker of the House? I don't think the buzz or the idea of a rebellion or an uprising against him will really amount to much, Greg, because as of now, I have yet to see any other figure who House Republicans can unite around. It's not surprising to say, oh, I don't like Ryan did this. I don't like Ryan did that. It's another thing to say, and we should all unite around Louis Gohmert or something like that, picking one of these members of the House Freedom Caucus or something like that. There isn't at this point a House Republican who is well set to be the voice of opposition to Ryan and to unite the Republican caucus. So I think we're looking at President Hillary Clinton, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and House Speaker Paul Ryan heading into 2017.
Jim, I've got some breaking news. We've talked about the Electoral College breakdown. I just got a text from my lawyer friend in Kentucky who just voted for himself for president and wrote in me for vice president. So things are going to be much better once I'm vice president. I'll break the tie in the Senate and things will be much more conservative going forward.
That would be delightful, yes. No, I was going to say, what the scenario I'm not predicting, but let's face it, it's still in there. You could end up with no one gets 270 and Evan McMullen wins Utah and the election goes to the House. House Republicans decide they don't want Trump or Clinton. They elect Evan McMullen. He's the first president to have won only one state in the election. Boy, that wouldn't be controversial at all. The Senate could then select the Senate selects the vice presidential vote, the vice president under that scenario. So you could end up with, McMullen, Kane, and America just kind of braces itself for just that much, charisma in government at one time.
I was thinking a 269-269 map, then a 25-25 split somehow in the House, and then a 4-4 divided Supreme Court.
And then I think it's a coin toss, right?
Something like that. I have no idea what would happen next, but that will not happen in the House. There will not be a 25-25 split in the House. So don't worry about that, folks. This will not be 2000, probably.
Probably not.
Jim, this is actually your final three martini lunch for a few days. You'll be out through next week with the delightful National Review cruise following this election. I'm sure that'll be nonstop fun.
Everybody will be sure. I did this joke after, 2008, 2012. If it doesn't go well, we're not coming back. We are coming back. That we may consume enormous, copious amounts of alcohol. but I think, that people are going to, there'll be intense debate about what decisions we made as a party this year and what decisions we need to make differently in the future. And, I'd encourage all of our listeners out there, if you haven't voted already, go out and do it. Chances are there's somebody out there who really, really needs you to vote against them because they have it coming. Referendum and state constitutional amendments and all kinds of things like that. Go out. People bled and died for your right to vote. So go out there and exercise that right, assuming you know who the candidates are and you know anything about any issue at all. And Greg, I think there's a really good chance that our listeners clear that bar.
Yeah, I think they do. So absolutely go out there and vote. Don't take our predictions for granted. Go out there, make your voice heard, make a difference. And who knows what could happen tonight? We could be completely wrong. We could be completely surprised on all different levels. So we'll be following it closely. I know you will as well. And we'll be dealing with the aftermath in the days to come on the Three Martini Lunch. Jim, you have a good vacation and we'll talk to you later.
See you in the brave new world. Post-election life, Greg, on the 20th.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And thanks again to ZipRecruiter for sponsoring the Three Martini Lunch today. Listeners can now post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Join us again on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.